We're already in the 4th of July mindset, but try to be back next week. Bring somebody with you, and we're going to have a good time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I want to entitle this, and the Lord gave me this while I was gone, and it'll be at least 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, but I want to talk about the altar. I want to talk about the altar. I don't know if I ever preached in 44 years. I don't know if I ever specifically preached about altars. And I want to talk about the flow. Say flow. The flow that happens at the altar. And I believe it's going to touch your heart. So Genesis 28 and verse 17 from the New Living Translation. But Jacob was also afraid and said, "What an awesome place this is." Say, awesome place. Woo. "It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway." Say, gateway. "The very gateway to heaven." Wow. What he didn't know, you know, he just kind of laid his head there and he had this vision that heaven opened up. And he saw angels descending and ascending, descending and ascending. How many know they were on missions? They were up to something. They weren't just getting their exercise. They were up to something. They were coming down and doing what they do and went back up to heaven and they'd come back down. And he could look right up and he said, "It's a portal. It's a doorway into heaven itself." And he put some rocks right there and he built it up because he wanted to remember that place, that specific place. Those stones meant were as if it were an altar. A place where heaven meets earth. And he marked it because once you got a portal, there's always a portal. So he marked it. Does anyone believe he came back every once in a while? And he made that. That portal was really an altar. What are altars? Altars are places where heaven meets earth. Heaven meets earth. It's a place where the heavenly realm, come on, and the earthly realm intersect. There's an intersection there where it's almost as if you have both. And anyone that is spiritually sensitive and has been around at all, especially in this church, you have felt that. You've been there. There's been times you didn't know if you were in heaven or earth. There were times there was so much heaven it knocked you out. Woo! Glory to God. Heaven meeting earth. What a powerful, powerful moment that is. The altar is the place where worship flows. When you worship, it's not just you talking. When you worship, it ascends. How many know smoke always ascends? It never goes, it goes up. Glory to God. I know the devil tries to, he tries to get you to go sideways. But I'm here to tell you basically what we're saying is worship ascends from a place of worship, an altar. How many know you can build altars? Places where heaven meets earth. Ah. An altar is a place where worship flows, sacrifices are made, covenants are made, and power is transferred. Oh, I can quit and go home right now. Are you getting this? Power. Something comes from heaven as your worship goes up. So let me give you several things about an altar. Number one, an altar is a sacrificial site. It's a place of sacrifice. When Abraham, when Noah built that altar when he got off the boat, right? The Lord said it was a sweet-smelling savor. The Lord enjoyed that worship. And that spot became an altar. Abraham built altars wherever he went. Altars make room for the presence of God. Make room for you to be in the presence of God. It's a sacrificial site. Something has to be given for the altar to work. You can't just go and say, give me this, give me that, give me that. Right? Something has to be. It's a sacrificial site. Oh, my God, my God. And I want you to get this. This is really important. If you're going to sleep on me, stay awake for 2 minutes. Because if you're not careful, you'll misinterpret what I'm saying. That it's some kind of financial transaction, as if you're paying for what God's going to give you. No, 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 no. You can't afford. I don't care what he gives you, you can't afford it. This is not about me coming up with some money. Here, Lord. Paying for a blessing. No, that's not what it's about. That's not what sacrifices are about. Watch this. Get this. It's not about a payment transaction. It's about making room for God to give you. Some of you can't receive anything because you're too full of nonsense. I could put a lot of other words there. See, all the carnal minds, they're just going like this. You know, Ben's laughing over there, Ben. No, for an altar work, there has to be a sacrifice, and the sacrifice is not a payment. The sacrifice is making room. Giving something away, giving something up, so there's room for what God wants to put in you. Oh, somebody help me in the house. Is this too deep? Are you okay? Well, apparently not. Are you okay? When I ask a question, you answer. Amen. Come on. I haven't been gone that long. I got to reteach all of you. It's a place of sacrifice, of making room for what God has. Number two, it's a place of possession. Possession is accomplished. What do I mean by that? It is a place, let me say it like this. Whenever you give God something, you're telling him he's Lord of that. So if you need a financial blessing, you give a financial offering. But when you do, warning, when you make that sacrifice to God, you're saying, God, it's yours. He'll give you the blessing, but it's. It depends on the size of it. You know, God, I need a financial blessing. Here's a dollar. If you give God a dollar, he's Lord of your chump change. Oh, that wasn't funny. Okay. Well, I'll give him a 20. Give him a 20. Now he's Lord of your McDonald's money. Glory to God. If you want him Lord of your finances, you need to make a significant, you need to make a sacrifice that you feel the loss. You need to make a sacrifice that hurts a little bit. You need to make a sacrifice that makes a difference. And people are not willing to do that, quite honestly, because they don't trust God to do what he said he would do. We often say, how many times you hear people say, give Jesus your life. Give your life to Jesus. Do you understand what that means? When you give God your life, you're saying, take possession. He takes possession of what you give him. And that part blesses the whole. Is this too deep? Are you okay? Apparently not. Are you okay? What have you all been doing? You're just tired, huh? Say hallelujah. That sounds better. Amen. Romans 12:1, right? And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies, yourselves, to God. Why? Because of all he has done for you. Let them, your life, be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Worship involves sacrifice. And that's why some people can't seem to do it. That's why for some people, you sang too long. Well, that's not my song. We are not necessarily here just to make you happy. You are here to give your life to God. Oh, that's too much. That's a cost. Yeah, it's a cost. But the benefits are out of this world, literally. They're literally out of this world. If you give God your life, you're saying, I'm not in charge anymore. God, my future, my present, my past, it's all in your hands. And how many know it always turns out okay? Wow. Luke 6:38, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Is it any plainer than that? I don't know. God never blesses me. What have you given him? You're so full of yourself, God can't do anything with you. Okay. Lord, help us in this place. Number three. Covenants. Say covenants. Covenants are made here. So it's a sacrificial site. It's a place of possession. God possesses what you give, but it's also a place of covenants. God is promising something, and you're promising something. And we make a covenant. It's beyond contract. You say, well, that means you're making a contract. No, because God never breaks his side. That's what makes it a covenant. God will never break what he promised you. Covenants are made here. Let's understand something about altars. The devil has them too. And this is a whole nother sermon. I can't believe how dead y'all are. I mean, throughout the ages, everybody worshiped something. They all, I don't care what culture you're talking about. I don't care if it's in Europe. I don't care if it's in Asia somewhere. I don't care if it's some isolated island in the Pacific Ocean. I don't care where it is. They worshiped a god. And sometimes many gods, right? People have always, there's never in ancient history, there's never been anyone really who said, I don't believe there are any gods. Because if they said that, they were afraid they were going to get struck by lightning. So now we get into the modern age. And people are saying, there is no God. And they're acting like they never worship. They might not have a name for their God, but everybody has a God. I don't care who you are, you worship something. You may not be getting down on your knees, but there's something in your life that you value, that you worship. And I don't care, saved or not, every sinner worships something. And that something, whatever it is, has a demon behind it. And you may not name it as a demon, but you're worshiping it. What am I worshiping? I don't know. Yeah, well, maybe it's money. Maybe it's fame. Maybe you want good looks. Good luck on that. Amen. Lord, if I could just get a plastic surgery. No. There's so many things that it could be, but because we're made to worship. I don't care who you are, you understand there's something higher because you were made from that, not just by that, from that, in the image of that, saved and unsaved. Oh, Jesus, help us. Is anybody helping me in this place? Have you ever heard the expression, deal with the devil? A deal with the devil. How many movies have you watched where somebody sold his soul, made a deal with the devil? You know the movies. You really need something. The devil comes and says, well, I'll tell you what. I'll do this for you. I'll make you famous. I'll make you rich. I'll make you whatever. But when you die, your soul is mine. And they go, they make a covenant. They make a covenant. Whew. Come on now. It's a deal with the devil. Those are altars. That's done at a place where the spiritual realm intersects with the natural realm. And the spiritual realm is not just God's realm. It's the enemy's realm as well. He's the prince of the power of the air. It's a deal with the devil. And I'm afraid many have done it. Oh, God, I feel the weight. I feel the weight of this. And sometimes we have to deal with these because in some cases our ancestors did it. And we're dealing with what they call generational curses. But you can overcome them. You can break the deal. Woo! Sometimes people have unintentionally fell into these things, not realizing what they've done, not realizing they've sold their soul. But there's a way to repent. There's a way to change. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? You know, some people believe once saved, always saved. Well, that's fine. But if once saved, always saved, then once condemned, always condemned. Aren't you glad there's a way out? Aren't you glad we can change? Aren't you glad we can go from that realm to this realm? There you are. There you are. Sometimes, one man said it like this, sometimes the deals you make come with chains. They come with chains. How do I know it's God? God doesn't deal with chains. He came to set you free. Woo! Glory to God! The covenant you make with God will bring joy and peace and power to you. Help us, Jesus. I'm not even halfway, but I got to quit pretty soon. Listen, an altar. Covenants are made there. Number one, two, three, four. Number four. I need to actually number these so I know where I am. It's a place of encounter. An altar is a place where you encounter something. Something heavenly. Reminds me of Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. High and lifted up, train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, and then it describes the seraphim, and they were saying, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth." And the post of the door was shaken, and I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean spirits," and so on and so forth. But you see, he didn't see it coming. But all of a sudden, there was an encounter. He had a vision of the throne of God. And every altar is not always that, but it is an encounter with God. Now, let me bring this home. Because I've said this before. I've said to you, and it wasn't always this way, or maybe we didn't realize it. But I believe up on this hill, this is a portal. He said, well, sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Well, duh. The enemy will try to cloud it over. So that, how many said, I prayed as if the heavens were brass. Yeah. The enemy will try to block it. But block it or not, there's a portal over this building. I'm not talking about some spiritual woo. I'm talking about a real portal to heaven. Not every church even has that, I think. Oh, because they're all about themselves. And some portals are larger than others. How many know that's true? That's why sometimes you go through the week and you're burdened and you feel heavy, and then you walk in this sanctuary and all of a sudden, before the sermon, before the music, before anything, you just walk through the doors. We've had guests come in here and say, oh, I felt something the minute I walked in here. It's a portal. There are portals. Can I get into this? It's deep. You might even think I'm Looney Tunes. That's all, folks. Because I gotta land somewhere. But I'm only halfway through the sermon. I'll do the other half next week. There are portals, major portal. Jerusalem is a portal. And a lot of times, portals are on high places. They're on mountaintops. It's just that kind of thing where we need to get high. That's why they wanted to build the Tower of Babel. They wanted to get closer to the portal, an opening. And God said, if I let them do it, they'll accomplish it. Now, he didn't mean they would actually build a tower to heaven. How many know that's not possible? Even today. to build a tower to the clouds. It is not, so that's not what God was talking about. What he's talking about is they would actually pierce a spiritual portal and receive power from the dark side. And he said, I've got to put a stop to it. And he confused their languages. Oh, Jesus. By the way, they think they found the foundation of that tower. Yeah. Portals. Portals. You see this all over the world where these ancient structures. Let me just mention one you're familiar with, Stonehenge. And some people, oh, it's just a, no. That's a portal. And they recognized it as a portal, and they built that over it so they could amplify, is this crazy? Amplify their connection. But they weren't connecting with God, they were connecting with the dark side. The pyramids were this. How many remember when I preached on Genesis 6? How many remember that before the flood, some of the angels rebelled, actually took on human form, come on, procreated with human women, and produced the Nephilim, the giants. This is weird because every single culture in the entire world, from South America to Asia to Europe, every ancient culture has a story about the giants. And by giants, I don't mean 50 foot tall. They were just tall, probably 8-9 foot. And they have found the skeletons. And there's been several of these skeletons that were given to the, what's that in Washington, where they collect the Smithsonian, and after they give it to them, that nobody ever sees them again. For some reason, they don't want us to know about it. But there are pictures of these skeletons. So these things actually existed. Oh, Lord, help me. Let me give you another example. Because these, I shouldn't go into this. You okay? Nobody over here said anything. Are you okay? Okay. These fallen angels gave ancient people before the flood information that people have not discovered until recently. How to build things. How to make things. I don't have time to get into it, but you could take like the pyramids or whatever, and you begin to understand that they're mathematically perfect and that they are exactly aligned to certain stars and planets. I mean exactly. In fact, some of them, this is weird, some of them are aligned to stars that shoot through. In one case, it was aligned to a star that only came through every 235 years. Now, how in the world did they accomplish that? They had knowledge. And that's why God had to send the flood. Just, here's a quick example, the pyramids, right? They said, well, people gradually got better. No, the oldest pyramid is the best one. And the pyramids that came after are less than. It's like they lost knowledge. Those big blocks, well, they put them on rollers. What kind of rollers? If it's 100 ton, it'll crush any roller you put it on. And they had to bring them a couple hundred miles. Well, they floated them down the river. I don't know what boat can hold a rock like that. It would sink. But somehow they got, not only to get those rocks there, but they are perfectly cut. Perfectly cut. And here's what the archaeologists won't talk about. How many know different things are different hardness? and you look at the top of the hardness scale, what's near the top? Diamond. Diamond, on a scale of 1 to 10, diamond's like an 8. You go on down, and you get to granite. Granite's like a 6 or 7. You go on down, and you get to the only material they had, because we have the tools. We have the evidence. The only tools they had were made of copper. Copper's like a 3. You can't hit an 8 with a 3. Common sense. You can have, it's not going to break it. I'm going to blow your mind even more. They made pots and all kinds of stuff out of solid granite where the inside is smaller than a hand. How did they get in there and make that pot out of solid rock when you can't even get your hand in there? And it's smooth, just as smooth. In fact, they have measured it, and it's, I'm telling you, it's within just, we'd be challenged to make it that right today. How did they do it? They won't answer the question, but I will. They had knowledge. And finally, God said, enough is enough. And he sent the flood. And now we see that, by the way, there's hundreds of these temples all over the world, all over the world. And a lot of them were buried in the flood. We're just starting to find them. And some of them were built right after the flood. And then you see, then you go from, you go through the time period, and these beautiful temples, they break them apart and they build another one on top of it. But the one on top of it was inferior to the one under it. Their knowledge was decreasing as it went on. I want you to understand, according to Genesis 6, there were people who knew about portals because they were angelic beings. And they would build these temples on high places where they can worship and receive power. In fact, scientists have gone into these and they've measured the magnetism and it's through the roof. There are places on the planet that have energy. Hello, Skinwalker Ranch. Y'all watch that? There's some demon stuff going on there. Let me tell you, I love that show. Woo, you ought to watch it. My God, something going on there. There are places on the planet that are portals. Oh, God help us. Why did I say that? I just want to prove my point. And I want to prove that the ancients knew about this. And they built temples on this site so that they can have connections to the supernatural. And today's people say it's all bunk. They don't believe a word of it. That's exactly the strategy of the enemy. Take away this knowledge of the supernatural and make them gods. And today it's, I'm a god. I'm all that matters. Instead of worshiping a god, they're worshiping themselves as gods. Wow. What did I say? Everybody worships something. Everybody worships something. Oh, God help us. Why don't you stand? I got to quit somewhere. All right. How many are freaked out right now? You're just absolutely. By the way, I can talk about this stuff for 3 hours if you want to stay. Because it is amazing. Amazing what's happening. How many believe there is a supernatural realm where there's a lot going on that we can't see? If you could see right now, your angel is punching your devil. Glory to God. Now I say angel, but some of you got five or six because you need them. How many know there is, what did Paul say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. There is a wrestling that's going on in the spirit realm. Now, a lot of pastors aren't going to preach this, not going to talk about it, but what kind of nonsense is that? We need to understand the spiritual realm. Are you okay to learn it? Okay. And we can hear from heaven. How many know God still speaks? God still speaks. All right, I got to stop somewhere. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, I feel your...